blessings of our Lord. They are bountiful and many. But as believers, how do we determine what the blessings are that the Lord has for each of us as His children? To answer this question and many others, join Pastor Paul and the Word Mission Church family on yet another insightful message.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, let our lives not be the same after this morning, O God. Give us an encounter with you, 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 O God. Reveal yourself to us, O God. Reveal yourself to us, O God. Reveal yourself to us, O God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus. We are so grateful. In Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said amen. Everyone said amen. Say aloud amen. Say aloud amen. Say aloud amen. Say aloud, amen. Say aloud, amen. Say aloud, amen. Shout that name, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Father. My God, His presence is so strong in this place. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. My, 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 my. I hope everyone had a blessed week. And there are some people here. I'm expecting them to be on the other side of the world. They are here. Welcome. Thank you for your service to the nation. That's a pleasant surprise. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I just like this season. I don't know about you. I just enjoy this season. Everywhere you go, even for people that don't like God, in the stores, everywhere, joy to the world. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, so let's get into our Bible lesson this morning. Last week, we talked about the coming of Jesus and His blessing that has been made available to us. And I can spend a whole month on that. But all this month, I want us to keep going through and get the highlights of why Jesus Christ came, what has been made available to us, and what is our role and our role in this whole plan of redemption. And I pray that we will experience God through His Word this morning. You see, the thing is, I mean, what does somebody being born 2,000 years ago mean to me today? What is the significance? It is very significant, because if Jesus hadn't come, you and I, we won't be in the family of God. So we are so grateful for that, and we thank God for that. It's so good to be in God's house. And one of the reasons why Jesus Christ came was to redeem mankind back to God. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that includes you and I. And we thank God for that grace. We thank God for that mercy. And this morning, be very sensitive as we hear God's word, that your life will be transformed. I pray that you will not leave the service the same way that you came in, but you will encounter God through His word. If you believe that, say amen. I pray that in this, sometimes when it gets to December, people get discouraged. God is not done with you yet. The plan that He has for your life, like Pastor Paula was preaching, she preached the whole sermon. I can just sit down and then we can go home. But God doesn't, God is not done with you yet. He has a great plan and a great destiny for your life. And as we keep working with Him, we will see the fulfillment of that plan. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And you see, we talked about it last week. I mean, there are so many ways we can go with it. But one of the things that Jesus Christ came to do was to bring the kingdom of heaven back to man. Turn your Bibles with me, if you please, to Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Thank you, Lord. He says, let's start from verse 1, it'll be clearer. He says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the kingdom of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means change your mind. There is a new kingdom here. That's what John the Baptist was preaching before Jesus Christ came. And then if you turn to the very next chapter in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, talking about Jesus, he says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" He's repeating the same thing that John the Baptist was saying. What are they saying here? And if you continue reading down, verse 18 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him." And verse 22 and verse 23 says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee," notice, "teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom." Don't let that get away from you. "Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. He came preaching, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Adam and Eve had lost it in the garden. Jesus Christ comes, and one of his first messages is, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And when we talk about a kingdom, we are talking about this. It's a combination of two words, king and then domain. That is talking about the dominion of a king, an area that a king exercises sovereignty over. But notice, he keeps on going, and then in verse 23, he says that he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. So you can sum the ministry of Jesus Christ into three categories: teaching, preaching, and healing. And that is what we endeavor to do in our time as well, as we follow his example. But notice, he says he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change your way of thinking. There is a new kingdom here. There's a new way. There's a way this kingdom functions. And that is how God expects us to function. You see, growing up in a democratic society, sometimes it might be difficult to understand what a kingdom is. A kingdom has a king. And that king rules over that area. In other parts of the world, they still have kings. And when the king makes a decree, when the king says something, that is what goes and applies in his domain. And the people are supposed to obey and do what the king says. And so it's so important for us to realize that. And we, as Christians, we have come into the kingdom of God. You are, because of the coming of Jesus Christ, it has been made possible for us to come into the kingdom of God. Notice Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Thank you, Lord. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. He says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power, another translation says domain, or the authority of darkness, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, or the remission of sins. You see, Jesus Christ came teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and then that teaching and preaching made way for the healing to take place. And wherever he went, where there was sickness, he said, this is not in the kingdom of God. This is not in the kingdom of heaven. This is not supposed to be, and it's supposed to go away. But here, when we became born again, the Bible says that he has delivered us from the power, the authority, the domain of darkness, and he has conveyed us. I like this translation. He has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Though if you are in the kingdom of God this morning, you are under the domain of a new king. You are no longer under the domain of the old king that used to dominate you with sin, sickness, disease, and all the curse that was out there. But this morning, you are being conveyed. This is a fundamental fact you should establish. If you don't know that, the enemy will keep dominating over your life. But the day that you realize that you are being translated, you are being conveyed from a domain of darkness, that will mark the end of the dominion of the enemy over your life. There is no way a police officer in Canada can arrest somebody on U.S. soil. He doesn't have any authority or domain in this country. In the same way, you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness. That's why we talked about the blessing and the curse last week as a foundation. You have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the Son of his love. And so the enemy has no right to dominate over you. And so this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, by the word of the Lord, any area of your life that is being dominated by the enemy, by virtue of the power in God's word, I decree and declare that it comes to an end in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Ma. I'm excited already. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul, in writing in Romans chapter 14, let's look at some of the characteristics of this kingdom. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Thank you, Lord. Romans 14, 17. He says, for the kingdom, I just like this verse in the Bible. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but three things: righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let's take them one by one as far as we can go. We know a lot about righteousness. Through Christ Jesus, we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." We have been made the righteousness of God in him. Now we have the nature of God. Now we have the life of God. And now we can go, because of who he has made us to be, we can go boldly into the presence of God. We can stand there unashamed, unafraid, because of his righteousness, or because of who he has made us to be. That is what he's saying that the kingdom of God consists of. Then we also know that having been made the righteousness of God in him, we must learn to practice this righteousness. We must learn to live like the way he wants us to live. So in talking about Jesus, notice what he says about him in Hebrews chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 1. From verse 8, he says, "But to the Son, he says, 'Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom.'" Notice that righteousness and kingdom, put that together again. "You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." Because, talking about Jesus, because he loved righteousness and hated lawlessness, or another translation says iniquity or sin, God has exalted him. God has anointed him with the oil of gladness more than your companions. The kingdom of God is righteousness. So we get to the place and the point, and we say that, "Lord, you have made us righteous. We love the righteousness that you have made us to be. And we detest sin. We detest iniquity. We detest lawlessness. We want to live our lives to please you and to do your will." Thank you, Lord Jesus. That was the mission of Jesus when he came. He says, "I am here to do the will of my Father." Because he loved righteousness, God lifted him up. And in the mighty name of Jesus, in this season, as we desire to follow God, as we desire to please him, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray that he will lift us up like only he can. If you believe that, say amen this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, that's so important for all of us to realize that. Notice what he says in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29, the very last verse. You can start from 28. It will make it even more clear. It says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." If you know that he is righteous, you know, if you know that he is righteous, that is talking about God. Now you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. We have come to the point where when he says practicing righteousness, that means that now you know that because he has made you righteous, you can go into his presence unashamed, unafraid, and in the presence of the enemy as well, you are bold and you can stand there and stand your ground, stand on the word of God and resist him as well. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 verse 1 that the righteous are as bold as a lion. You are as bold as a lion. You stand your ground. You receive your boldness from there. And you live your life before God. My Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we will walk in the fullness of all that he has made us to be. In the fullness of all he has made us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Then the next thing that he talks about there is peace, 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 righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ came when he was born. Oh, they said peace and goodwill to all men. The Bible says that there is no peace to the wicked. There is no peace to the wicked. Peace can only be found in Jesus Christ. There is no peace outside of Jesus Christ. There is no peace. You see, some people go through life and peace, that peace, it can only come from Jesus. It can only come from him. He's the only one that can give you peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace that in the midst of every storm that you may go through, in the midst of whatever you may be going through, that peace of God. The world is in trouble, but in Jesus we have peace. Notice what he says in John chapter 16 verse 33. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 16 verse 33. He says, "These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Hallelujah. In me you have peace. In this world you have tests, you have trials, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I pray that you walk in this peace in this season. That peace, Jesus was traveling one time. He was crossing the ocean with his disciples. He told them, "Let us go over to the other side." And then he went to sleep. And a storm came while they were traveling. And he was still sleeping. How can you be sleeping in a storm? Sound asleep. The disciples came to him and said, "We have been battling this storm, and do you not care about us?" Oh, sometimes it feels that way. But never question the caring love of Jesus. He cares about you. He watches over you affectionately. In me, you have peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that in this season, that which troubles your heart, that which seems that it's an issue that troubles you, may the peace of Jesus Christ be your portion this morning in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is peace. In me, you have peace. In me, you have peace. In me, you have peace. I pray peace in your family, peace in your body, peace in your heart, peace in every area of your life. Receive that this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. What are the sources of, where do we get this peace from? We get this peace when we become born again. If you are a child of God, the peace is already there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 2, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, it's already there. It's already there. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." The peace is already there. But like every fruit, it has to grow and keep growing and keep growing. And you have to remind yourself in the hard places that the peace is already in there. You have to be conscious of that. He has already given you the peace if you are born again. And if you are not born again, then you should quickly become born again, because the direction that this world is going, you better get in. Oh, to experience this peace. You must be born again to receive this peace. My Lord and my God. If you are saved, you are already entitled to it. It's already there. But for you to walk in the fullness of it, you must continually feed on God's word. Feed on God's word. Everything else will try to get your attention. Like the disciples, they were focusing on the storm when the answer to their peace was right there in the boat. When Jesus got up, the first word he said to the storm was peace. This morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, I speak to every storm in your life, peace be still. Peace be still. Peace be still. May there be calm and peace in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That which endeavors to disturb your peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, may there be peace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's already there. But it's multiplied to us by the word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you, notice, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. May this peace that you have received be multiplied. How is it going to be multiplied to you? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. May grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge. That is how grace and peace is multiplied. Through the knowledge of God. How are you going to find out the knowledge of God? Through his word that he has given to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you will experience that this season in Jesus' mighty name. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119, verse 165, he says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble, or nothing shall offend them. Great peace have those who love your law, those who love your word. That is one of the things that will give us peace in these troubled times. That is one of the things that will help us when the storms of life come, when the circumstances of life come that seems difficult to overcome. He says, great peace have those who love your law. It will keep you from being offended. Some people get to the place where they even become offended at God and his word. But the word of God is the source of peace. Don't forget where we started. I haven't forgotten. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Great peace have those who love your law. How am I going to walk in this peace? Another way that you can walk in peace and have this peace multiply to you is by prayer. By prayer. Don't let your prayer life slip in this holiday season. Stay close to God. Notice Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Thank you, Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Thank you, Lord. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. The Amplified says, don't fret. When the storms of life come, when you are tempted to be anxious, when you are tempted to worry, he tells you what to do. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. Those are the two areas where your peace will be endeavored to be disturbed. You are seeing the storms all around you. You are seeing the circumstances all around you. He says, don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't fret. Come to me in prayer. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. Another translation says, it will mount a guard over your heart and your mind, like a garrison of soldiers. That is the kind of peace that Peter had in Acts chapter 12. When he was put in prison. And the next day, he had a death sentence on his life. The next day, Herod is going to kill him. But the church was praying. They could have sat there and complained and kept murmuring against God. But the Bible says that they prayed without ceasing. They prayed continually. And you know what happened? When the angel came to deliver Peter from prison, this person was sleeping. How can you be sleeping when you know that tomorrow you are going to be killed? Most of us will have butterflies in our stomach and stay up all night. But he was practicing this. Be anxious for nothing. Do not worry about anything. Worry won't change anything. In Matthew chapter 6, he talks about the fact that it won't add one cubit to your stature. It won't increase your height any bit. you can go to bed worrying. You can wake up in the morning worrying. I mean, it won't change anything. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. 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 Matthew 6:25 says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. Know about your body, what you put on. It's not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Answer that question for yourself this morning. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Answer that question. You can't do it. So 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. 33, he comes to the key right here. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Look at the birds of the air. Remind yourself one time, sometime. They neither sow nor reap. The lilies of the field. Solomon in all his glory wasn't clothed like one of these. So, what is the point in worrying? You have a heavenly Father that can take good care of you, that cares more about you than the birds of the field, the birds of the air, and the lilies of the field. Don't worry. Then he tells you what to do. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek his interest first. Let him be your priority for living. Let him be your reason for living. Seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. Now here we see again, he's putting the kingdom and righteousness together. Seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, his way of doing things. Seek him first. Put him first in every area of your life. Then everything else that the Gentiles and the world is looking for, he said, will be added to you. That is the source of your peace. That's one example right there. You can go to that scripture at every point and say, Lord, I don't think you care about the birds more than you care for me. I don't think you like these lilies of the field more than me. They are not created in your image and in your likeness. I know if you take care of the birds, if you take care of the lilies of the field, no matter what I'm faced with, in the mighty name of Jesus, I place it into your hands. I know that you would take care of me. I like that song. God will take care of me. Take care of me. The psalmist in me is coming out. Don't let me sing here this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Another one that you can use. Let's give you some tools here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. He himself has said, so that I may boldly say. He himself has said, so that I may boldly say. Remember, great peace have they who love your law. Put that word in your mouth. What God has said is what I will say. He himself has said, so that I may boldly say. He himself has said, so that I may boldly say. I put that word in my mouth. What did he say? The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. Man may disappoint me, but God will not disappoint me. The Lord is my helper. That is what he has said. That is what I'm going to say. That is what I'm going to put in my mouth. Oh, I will not fear. Oh, why would I not fear? Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Oh, because the God who is with me is the biggest thing in the valley, and he will take me out of that valley sooner or later. I am just going through that valley of the shadow of death. My God is my helper. He will lift me up and set me high above every circumstances. This morning, I don't know what you are faced with, but I've come to assure you by the word of God that God is your helper. God is with you. You do not need to fear. You do not need to be afraid. You do not need to worry, because your God cares and loves you and watches over you affectionately. Remind yourself of that. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. He has said, so that I may say, he will never leave me nor forsake. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. When you are at peace with God and with yourself, you will see the hand of God at work in your life. Notice Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isaiah 32, verse 17. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, the work of righteousness will be peace. Think about it. The work of righteousness will be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance every now and then. That's not what the Bible says. He says the work of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Verse 18 says, my people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, in quiet resting places. The work of righteousness will be peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace that no and quiet assurance forever. Oh, peace that it cannot be explained. How come you are peaceful? Because you know all that God will not fail you. Because you know that you trust in the Lord. Because you know that your confidence is in God. Amen. The effect, the work of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. I pray that this morning God ushers you into that area. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 46 verse 10, he says, be still and know that I am God. Be still, be at peace, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. I have not stopped being God. I will never stop being God. I will never stop being God over your life. Oh, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be at peace and know that I am God. I am the God of your life. I am the one that brought you here. I am the one that is in charge of your life. I am the one that you serve. I am the one. He told the children of Israel in Exodus, similar thing in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. He said, oh, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. In the mighty name of Jesus this morning, oh, as you are at peace, as you are still, oh, the enemies that threaten to overtake you, the enemies of your life that threaten to send you under, in the mighty name of Jesus, may God step in and may he turn it around. Oh, those enemies that you see today, may you not see them again forever. If you believe that, say amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You are in the kingdom of God. You are in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You are in a kingdom that cannot be moved. Hebrews chapter 12. Encourage yourself with these scriptures. Don't let them get away from you. Hebrews 12, 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You are in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The kingdoms of this world may be shaken. They are subject to change. But the kingdom that you are in, it cannot be shaken. It cannot be shaken. That kingdom cannot be moved. And if you are in that kingdom and standing on the word of the king, you will not be moved either. God will see to it that you will not be shaken either. Oh, he's the one that you trust in. He says, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Because I know that I am in that kingdom that cannot be shaken, that cannot be moved. I choose to and come to that place where I'm seeking that kingdom first, where I'm serving that king first, where I'm yielded to him. My whole life is yielded to him. Lord, I want to please you. Lord, the same way that you gave your only begotten son, now I yield my life to you. Use my life to make a difference on somebody every day of my life. Oh, because this kingdom cannot be shaken. I will not be shaken. No matter what I'm surrounded with. Oh, I am on that solid ground. I am in that kingdom. I will not be shaken. I will stand The wind may come, the rain may come, but I will not be shaken. I am standing on the word of God. I am standing on his promises. Somebody this morning, God is saying to you, he will not leave you nor forsake you. You will not be shaken either. You have put your trust in God. He will preserve your life. He will see to it that you are kept. Peace that passes all understanding be your portion today and forever. May the effect of righteousness be seen in your life, not only today, but all the days of your life. If you believe that, shout yes! Glory be to the name of the Lord. The effect of peace, having received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And then finally, he talks about joy. The kingdom of God is peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ came, joy to all the world, peace and goodwill to all men. Joy, joy, joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, he said to the Philippians. And this was someone who's in some places was even in prison. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, don't forget about the joy peace. Don't forget about it. Don't forget about it. We know about righteousness. We know about peace. But what about the other one? Joy. Inexplainable joy. Joy that you cannot explain. Rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4, 4. And again, I will say rejoice. I will say rejoice. You see, and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, he says, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, he says, rejoice always. Two lines in a verse. Rejoice always. How can you do that? Only when you are focused. I think I ran out of bat. Okay, good. He says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Just two words. How can you do that? When you are focused on the word of God, you can rejoice always. The word of God is the source of true joy, not your environment, not your surroundings, not what is around. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that the joy of the Lord is your strength in this season. May you experience true joy. Notice what he says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. He says, therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Rejoice, O heavens, and you know that if you are in Christ Jesus, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And so, rejoice. Don't leave that position. Don't leave that heavenly place. You see, the goal of the enemy, what he wants to do is to steal your joy. He can only oppress you after he gets you depressed. Steal your joy so he can oppress you. The prodigal son could only be in hunger and want after he was taken out of his father's house, after he left his father's house. The enemy wants to take you out of that place of joy and rejoicing so he can put you in a corner and then start oppressing you. Don't let him do that. Don't let him do that. Because he knows Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. Thank you, Lord. He says, therefore, with joy you draw water from the well of salvation. I like it that it's in plural. With joy, you do what? You draw from the wells of salvation. There are so many things that are in that well of salvation. There is deliverance there. There is health there. Your needs are provided for. Everything has been taken care of. Not well. It says wells. How are you going to draw out of them? With joy. Joy. Jeremiah put it this way. He said, I found your word and I ate them, and they were to me the rejoicing of my heart. with joy. So he wants to steal your joy so that your supply can stop. Don't do it. Don't let him do it. Stand your ground and say, just rejoice in his promises. Just rejoice in his word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, if you are in this kingdom, how come we face all these challenges? If Jesus Christ has come and paid it all, how come we face all these challenges? See, the enemy wants to take you out of your new position and status in Christ and let you forget about that and start focusing on the storm. And then when you do that, like Peter, you start sinking. But you can keep your eyes on God and on his word and on his promises. Notice, I pray in this season. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9 says that a great door has been opened, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. There are many adversaries. He wants to keep you from drawing out of that well of salvation, of deliverance. But I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. You belong to Jesus Christ. And in Revelations, he says, he is the one that shuts and no one can open. And he is the one that opens and no one can shut. And so before we get to the end of this year, every door in your life that is supposed to be open, that is closed, in the mighty name of Jesus, may it be open and may you go through in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen. And every door that is open that is meant to be closed, in the name of Jesus, may Jesus shut that door and may it never ever be open again. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. My. I pray that God will deliver you like only he can in this season. Jesus Christ came to have us enter God's very best. Let me go through the rest I have here quickly. In Deuteronomy 28:59, he says, anything that God has prolonged, that continues, is under the curse of the law. Sometimes it may seem that it's prolonged. It's gone on for a very long time. But I like 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. He says, so our light affliction. I like Paul. I mean, incidentally, I'm named after him. He calls it light affliction. This man went through some serious stuff. He says it's all light. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Look at that. Your light affliction. You see, in this kingdom, everything, in this kingdom that you have come into, everything that doesn't line up with the will of God and with the plan and the purpose of God in that kingdom has an expiry date. So he's saying here that your light affliction is but for a moment. It's just a moment. How long is a moment? A moment is a moment. Oh my Lord, I'm having fun this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice what he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But may the God of all grace, not just a little bit of the grace, of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory, that's the eternal weight of glory that he was talking about, by Christ Jesus, that Paul was talking about in the other verse, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. After you have suffered a while. How long is a while? It's a while. Whatever you are going through has gone past a while. And he's saying, what will he do? That's my prayer for all of us this morning. May he perfect, may he establish, may he strengthen and settle you. May he settle you in your family. May he settle you in your health. As you serve him with reverence and acceptably, may he settle you in your finances. May he settle you in every area of your life. May he settle you in every area and then establish you. Think about it. And then, notice 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Thank you, Lord. Don't let these scriptures get away from you. He says, for he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. When is the accepted time? This kingdom that you belong to, now is a very important time in your life. When is now? Now, every time you say now, every refresh is now. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When is the day of your salvation? Now. When is the accepted time? Now. When is the accepted time? Now. When is the day of your salvation? Now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray to God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the mighty name of Jesus, now may he deliver you. Now may you experience his salvation. Now may you experience his healing. Now may you experience his provision. Now may he settle you. Now may he perfect you. Now may he strengthen you. Now may he establish you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that which will endeavor to steal your peace, in Jesus' mighty name, may God give you peace that passes all understanding. May God give you joy full of glory. May God restore to you the joy of your salvation, that God would deliver you in days past, in the mighty name of Jesus. This morning, now may he deliver you. Now may he give you peace. Now may he give you joy. Now may you be made whole, spirit, soul, and body. That disease in your body, this morning I curse it to the root. Leave your blood body now, in the mighty name of Jesus. May this be the last day you see that in your body. The enemy that you see today, may you see them again no more and forever, in the mighty name of Jesus. Because you serve a good God, because you serve a God that is bigger than anything in the valley. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Close your eyes and talk to God this morning. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Think about what you have heard this morning. Great peace have they who love your law. Nothing will offend them. May he having received, think about what you've heard, a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Why do you worry about your life? Think about that. He cares about the lilies. He cares about the birds. How much more you? Jesus Christ came to bring you into the kingdom of God. Think about all that this morning. He has said, So we may say, think about that. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. With joy, we draw out of the wells of salvation. Because he loved righteousness and hated lawlessness, God lifted him up and anointed him with the oil of gladness, far above all his companions. Think about that. Think about that. You are in the kingdom of God. A kingdom which cannot be shaken. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
And his righteousness.
And everything else will be added to you. Think about that. Think about that. Think about that. Think about that. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Think about that. It's a new kingdom here. New way to function, a new way to think. This morning, if you are here, or if you're watching us online, or if you are listening to this after the fact, and you are saying that to yourself, preacher, I don't have this peace that you are talking about. I don't have this joy that you are talking about. I don't know Jesus. I want this peace and this joy and this righteousness that you talk about, this kingdom that you talk about. I want to be translated from the domain of darkness.
Amen.
The enemy is dominating over my life. I want to come into the kingdom of God. If you are here like that, or if you are watching us or listening to this, just raise your hands and I'll pray with you. I'll help you on that path. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just say this prayer to God from your heart. Like you are talking to God. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to die for me. I believe you were raised from the dead. Save me now. I take you as my Lord. Come into my heart and help me with life. Help me serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Now just spend some time. Just talk to God. Whatever you came with to church this morning, talk to God this morning about it. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. He says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Joy has come into the world because of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Weeping may endure for a night,
but joy
comes in the morning.
Yes.
Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Hallelujah.
God is saying to someone this morning, I will wipe away the tears from your eyes. Your mourning, a new day is here. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's sing that song. Thank you, Lord. Let's rise to our feet, please. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing to the Lord.
Yeah.
of Jesus. I pray for each and every one of us this morning that may we know the joy of the Lord. May we know the peace of God. May we know the strength of God. May He settle us. And may every one of us make a fresh dedication and a fresh commitment of our lives to the Lord, to follow Him and to do His will. And I pray that may the remaining days of this year, even as God gave His special gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Romans 8:32, if He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him freely to us, how will He not with Him freely give us all things? I pray that everyone receives a special gift from the Lord in this season. Amen. A testimony in this season. In the mighty name of Jesus. Something that you can point to and say, this must be God.
This is God.
Anything in your life that stands before you and questions you and says, where is your God? In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, may God settle it in this season.
Amen.
May God settle it in this season. May God settle it in this season. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. May God bless you. May He keep you. May He cause His face to shine on you. This week is declared
week.
A week of testimony.
Amen.
You will return with your testimony. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Of God's goodness, of His love, and of His faithfulness. Thank you, Father. Take all the glory. Take all the honor. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you for our lives. You loved us first. We love you, and we make a decision to serve you. Let our lives be a light unto someone this week.
Amen.
Use us to make a difference in the life of others this week. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say, thank you, Jesus.
Say, thank you, Jesus.
Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for your word.
Thank you for your word.
Thank you for your promises.
Thank you for your promises.
Thank you for ministering to us today.
Thank you,
Lord. You'll
be with us
all the days of our lives. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for coming out this morning. I better stop before I start again. Have a blessed week. Ladies, come for your Bible study tomorrow and then join us for prayer on Friday. Your life, you are destined. There is hope for you. Your tomorrow will be all right. Don't worry about
Amen.
It. God will take care of everything. Like I said, I better stop before I get started again. Have a blessed week.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Word Mission Church International. If you're in the Colorado Springs area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning service. Word Mission Church International is located off of Edison Avenue at 5050 Edison Avenue, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80915. For more messages like this, be sure to visit our website at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. If you are in need of a Bible, stop by our church at 5050 Edison Avenue, Colorado Springs, on Saturday at 6 p.m. or Sunday at 10 a.m., and we'll be glad to bless you with a new Bible. If this message was a blessing and the Lord leads you to partner with us in spreading God's Word, simply text the word GIVE to 719-215-8338. For a tax-deductible gift to the ministry, GIVE to 719-215-8338. Remember to visit the website, www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. Also, let us know how this message was a blessing and how we can help further. Stay blessed. Word Mission Church International. Bible-rich sermons, authentic fellowship.